Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a thankful Thursday. That's the one we don't name after a food because we decide there's a day set aside just to be thankful. In fact, I want to hear the sound effect again. Just start us off. Go ahead.
You got to be more thankful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
We thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell.
Have you said thank you once?
Thank you!
Thank you. My friend Chris May's in studio laughing right now, but that's our Thankful Thursday sound effect right there.
I love it.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Hey, listen, we're going to kick off a discussion with Chris May here momentarily. Let me prelude it by saying a couple things. So I named dipper number one here, Trump World. This is a discussion about things that are happening on the ground right now in places outside the United States, but the influence of the Trump administration has really changed foreign policy. It has also shaped some of the dialogues and discussions. It's also been something that has been a precursor, if you will, to changes in the way nations do their work. And, oh, by the way, it's impacting conflict. We saw that most recently with the signing of a peace accord between the Hamas and Israel in Gaza. We're watching what's happening in Venezuela, where the Maduro regime is on its heels right now. But we've also got the ongoing conflict that's really, if you get down to it, is the largest force-on-force, conventional-style warfare in Europe since World War II. And that's the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. We've talked about it on the show so many times. A couple of things I want to update you on, and I'll give you more on it in a little bit after I finish my conversation with Chris. But number one is the Trump administration just said that they are considering allowing Tomahawk cruise missiles to be given to the people of or to the nation of Ukraine. That would be a game changer because that's a distance weapon, all right? That's something you can reach way behind the lines on because right now Russia can tag them from anywhere and Ukraine can't do a thing about it. The other is that there is a new announcement that came out just about an hour ago that Trump is already scheduling a second summit with Putin to be held in Budapest, Hungary, we believe next month. So there is an open dialogue. He did have a phone call with Putin today. We don't know the content yet. They haven't released the transcript, but what we understand is they did indeed set a framework in place for another summit. The other is he's meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky tomorrow, the president of Ukraine, I believe at the White House, and so that will happen. But one of the things that has to also be discussed is what's going on with the current offensive, what's going on with Russia, and what's going on with the people of Ukraine. So I want to bring in my friend. That's enough of me talking. So my friend for many, many years is Chris May, who some of y'all just refer to as Boomer Daddy.
Yeah, Boomer Daddy.
Boomer Daddy.
Brings back memories.
Chris May has been my friend now for, gosh, 3 decades, Chris, I guess.
Yeah.
And
it's been a long time, Phil.
It has. It has. Yeah. You know where all the bones are buried in my life. but, brother, you're currently on staff with Church of the Highlands.
That's correct, yes.
But you also have had a longstanding ministry, and Charlene and I were proud to serve on your board for a while. Called Mercy's Hope, which is a ministry in Ukraine.
That's right, yeah.
And you just got back.
I did,
So pragmatic Phil is the one going, dude, keep your head on a swivel, brother.
Yes.
You be careful over there.
You text that several times.
I did.
Yes, you did.
That's just my way. But I'm also praying for you while you're there.
Yeah, I know you did.
So let's talk about what you do with Mercy's Hope, what that is, and then and then dig into what you just got through doing.
Yes.
So Mercy's Hope.
Yeah, Mercy's Hope, Phil, really came out of my wife and I, Karen and myself. We went to Ukraine. Well, I actually did in 2004. God touched my heart. There's just no better way to say it. And impacted me so much that I felt like our next step was to adopt. And so after Karen got on that, finally got on that bandwagon, and the Lord took us back in 2005, we adopted our daughter, Karina. She was 11 at the time, but we basically connected so much with the orphanage there that we got to know upwards of these 80 kids that were at the orphanage. When we finally left with Karina, there was 70 odd kids crying and just crying out, "Mom and Dad, why are you not taking us?" And there started the heart of what God planted in us of Mercy's Hope. Mm. So after that, we created the 501(c) here in America, then began many trips to Ukraine where we really ministered to those kids. And today that orphanage, in fact, about 8 to 10 years later, Phil, you know the story, but they had to close the orphanage because most of those kids were all adopted to Christian families or families in Ukraine. And that's just really part of the whole amazing God story of Mercy's Hope.
It really has been something. And I got to back up to something you said, because I have said many times that one of my favorite times as a state senator was passing a law that we named after your daughter.
That's right.
Because you came to me, I'll never forget this. You came to me one day and you said, "Hey, you're an attorney. Can you help us with the adoption of Karina?" And I said, "You've already adopted Karina."
Yeah.
I said, "She's got your name. She's a U.S. citizen. What's the deal?"
Right.
"Oh, no. Alabama's one of the few states that requires us to readopt." And I was like, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard."
Absolutely. And so, that was actually 3 years into her being here. And we had to, I think, get her license or something that really brought back to the home. Birth certificate. We renew her birth certificate. And we couldn't do it without her being readopted.
Yeah. So just a quick aside on that. We chased that rabbit for a second. I did get the chance to be the attorney for you in the readoption and go with you to court to do all that. But then as a state senator, oftentimes you have assistants writing the law or the bill. I went out and researched it myself. I wrote the bill and then, you know, got a chance to go to the floor.
Yep.
Just the coolest thing in the world. Arguing. And then even drop an amendment on the floor and name it Karina's Law.
Yeah.
And then when you came down and the governor signed it with Karina being there.
It was just fantastic. Now, it didn't help us any because we had to re-adopt her. But
I couldn't save you from that.
Everybody after that.
Yep.
It was a new law where they didn't have to go through that process.
But you and I know some people like the Greers who adopted a little girl from China. And they did not have to go through it again because we got that abolished under Karina's Law.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. That's an aside. That's how much I love my brother Chris here. But okay, so you got this ministry to Ukraine.
Yes.
It also grew from orphanages. It was more than just that too.
There were
other people who had great need because this is a country that is, on the one hand, wealthy, and on the other hand, extremely poor.
That's correct.
And I mean, like, ravaged with poverty.
Yes. And they'd been through it because up to 1991, they were part of the Soviet Union.
Right.
And then when the Soviet Union basically pulled out, or they divided, essentially, these countries, Ukraine was really left with nothing, because when the Soviet Union pulled out, they pulled out many of the resources at the same time, and so they had to start over, basically. Ukraine did, and if you remember, that was back when our government had a major summit with the president at the time of the U.S. and Ukraine and Russia, and Ukraine had to agree to give up all their nuclear weapons.
Right.
And we would come to their aid if there was ever any conflict.
Right.
And they did at that time. And so then they were a country that was not nuclear based after that.
But there are several things that a lot of people don't realize about Ukraine. And correct me if I'm wrong, but my recollection is that Ukraine actually generates more nuclear power than almost any other country in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Ukraine is also in many ways sort of the breadbasket of Eastern Europe because their agricultural is so strong.
It is. As a matter of fact, it's common when you're there to see the soil. It's black. It's not just brown. And it's in much of Ukraine, 2 to 3 feet thick of topsoil.
Wow.
And so
that's things fertile ground.
Oh my goodness. The produce there is just second to none, really. And it's an amazing country in terms of that. So really up till the war, they were really ramping up their agriculture and beginning to make some really inroads worldwide as far as agriculture.
A lot of folks also forget that the recent incursion in the last few years by Russia was not the first co-opting of Ukrainian ground by Russia. They had already seized the Crimean Peninsula, which I liken to, it'd be like if Cuba decided to take South Florida.
Right,
They just took a whole section of the southern portion, which was their warm water ports on the Black Sea.
Black Sea. Sevastopol, some of those. In fact, my wife and I have been there. It's amazing before they annexed into Russia the Crimea.
And that happened during the Obama era, I believe. So, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I said before, Ukraine lost ground on Biden twice.
Yeah.
Obama, Biden.
Right.
And nothing was done about the Crimean Peninsula being annexed by Russia and just forcibly taken.
Yeah.
And then when Biden takes office as president, then there's the invasion to the east.
Right.
And you mentioned a minute ago, maybe we were off the air, in Donetsk, in that area. That's the eastern side,
They call it the Donbass region.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's where the major conflict is.
It is right now. The whole east is, and Russia has reinvaded, I should say, because they invaded in 2022, then they pulled back. And Ukraine really pushed them back. Now they're trying to push themselves back into that area and have taken some of it.
Well, we got to take a break right now, Chris. When we come back, what I want to do is dive into what you've seen. I mean, you've communicated constantly with people on the ground.
Yes.
But you also just went and put your own boots on the ground.
Yeah.
So I want to hear your thoughts, perspectives on everything you saw.
Absolutely.
All right, we're taking a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, in studio with Chris May, who just got back from Ukraine. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. Going right back with my friend and brother in Christ, Chris May.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. So you just got back from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the mission going over there. You had multi-purposes for going.
Yeah, it was really two parts.
Yeah.
And the first part was, it really had to do with my involvement as being a pastor at Church of the Highlands. We went over for a church and a ministry help with many of the churches in Ukraine. We invited pastors and their families, particularly the pastors and their wives, to come, and we helped them with what we call Grow Leader Conference Global. And so we help them with many aspects of growing their churches, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Equipping them for their pastoral
Absolutely.
Care. Yeah, but also loving on them too,
yeah.
I'm sure,
yeah,
at some
yeah.
point.
Well, and that was one of the things that I enjoyed so much was meeting with these pastors and their wives one-on-one and being able to minister to them directly.
Well, I want to make sure that the audience hears that, because what you're hearing there is an Alabama-based church, Church of the Highlands, where I've been a member for a number of years, and Chris too. And I like to say we had the first bootleg small group in the Gadsden area.
That's right, we did.
But there is ministry going on directly impacting the lives of people in Ukraine from our churches in Alabama.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely right.
All right. That being said, you also went there with Mercy's Hope.
Yeah. So the second part of that trip, the second week, I end up going to our base of operation, which is it's translated Yellow Water, but it's Joti Vodi. And that is where we've had our ministry now for close to 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the purpose of that trip was to encourage, we have a house there where there's four girls in that house, was to encourage them, plus the churches and the many people we knew in that whole region.
Yeah, that house has been a place for people to get a second wind, so to speak, in many ways.
That's right. That's right.
I remember when you first acquired the property. And so I got to ask you, too, as you go over there, I mean, what's it like going to a war zone? Every time I've been to a war zone, I've been in uniform.
Right.
So, I mean, can you get a rental car and just drive around and do what you got to do? I mean,
that was the thing that it was just so amazing, Phil, because they have been in war now 3.5 years. And when the air raid sirens would go off, I mean, this would happen multiple times during the day and many times at night, everybody was about their business. They just kept walking down the street, going to the grocery stores. Kids were playing in the playgrounds. And this was even the small part of my trip was actually a trip to the front line, what they call the Donbass region.
Yeah.
And that was very surreal. But even people there were just almost oblivious to the war.
It's amazing what you can normalize to.
Yeah.
I saw that in Baghdad.
Yeah.
There would be something would blow up and the shop next to it wouldn't even shut down. And it's amazing what people will become familiar with and just rock on, so
yeah,
to speak.
That's,
but
that's
I'm so sitting true. Here during the rake, by the way, and, yeah. and is that an Apple Watch you're wearing?
Yeah, yeah,
so I've got an Apple Watch. You've been an Apple guy for years.
I have.
his Apple Watch just like chirped or something or vibrated, and he goes, oh, look, there's an air raid in Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
He has an app on his phone telling him when there's air raids.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, my wife has said, well, can you turn off notifications? Because it happens at night multiple times.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And even a voice comes on and says, find shelter. Don't take this, you know, take this serious. You know, she's like, Chris, can you turn that off? But it just reminds me of what's happening over there.
Yeah, something to pray about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of which, you're there, and we're going to talk about what you did and what you saw in great detail. But I want to make sure I'm clear too.
Yeah.
You were not out of danger, so to speak. You were in places where there were drone attacks and things happening.
Yes, constantly. As a matter of fact, the house we were at, which the city has not been under direct attack, which praise God has been the fact for 3.5 years. However, when I was there, I had heard the previous trip a year ago some things sounding like bad motorcycles, which were the drones going overhead.
Yep.
Well, this time I heard the same thing. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is a drone outside our house. So my window was open and I thought, okay. So I kept doing what I was doing. And then I heard it. I heard So I ran to the window and I saw the tracers going up and really close to us, but heading right up into the blackness. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I went to get my phone, so I could record some of that. And then it happened, an explosion that rocked the house. And from the inside, I could feel my insides just shaking. And I thought, oh my goodness, we're in the middle of it. This is real stuff.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, I was right there.
Which, by the way, I guess it's also fair to point out that that you're not on an army base.
No.
Because what's happening a lot of times is the Russians are targeting civilian infrastructure.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
It's not like they're targeting troops.
Yeah.
They're going after power stations,
right.
Apartment complexes, hotels.
I saw it firsthand.
Hospitals.
Hospitals, orphanages. I mean, just anything.
Orphanages.
Yes.
See, that's sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're taking a break again. This is going by so fast. All right. We're taking a break again. We're going to come back in a minute and start getting more detailed perspective, but I want to hear about the morale of the people itself.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm with Chris May right now in studio. And y'all, I got to tell you, his perspective is not what you're going to hear anywhere else. You can watch Fox. You can watch CNN. You can see all the stories, what the politicians have to say. Nothing beats having somebody who's had their feet walking on the terra firma in the war zone itself tell you what they saw. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down with some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, and I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! Big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that, my friends, is just the radio. That's just the radio footprint. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, logging in onto the live stream, looking inside the studio, audio and video on places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, oh, by the way, there's all y'all that podcast the show. 363,000 downloads of the podcast of this show. That just tells us all of that, every bit of what I just said, that we can see where you are and we know it. And the fact that you are is the reason why we do it. We appreciate you more than you can possibly know. It's not about where we are. It's about the fact that you're there. So thank you very much for being Right Side Ruffians. All right. I'm going right back now to my friend Chris May, who's in studio with me. By the way, Chris, I gotta interrupt the flow real quick.
Okay.
Jeff from Indiana just texted in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Jeff from Indiana, our truck driving buddy who's been listening to the show for years. He remembers Boomer.
Oh, Boomer.
Boomer. Nathan, a.k.a. Boomer, is Chris's son. He wants to know, so how's Nathan doing? You can't have his dad there without telling everybody what he's up to and how he's doing. So give us like 30 seconds on that.
I tell you, Nathan, Courtney, and the whole family are doing fantastic. As a matter of fact, they have moved almost a rock's throw from our house. And it is so amazing. I've got two grandkids, and we're enjoying every baseball game, every dance class. It's just nonstop, and we love it.
All right, get out of my studio. My grandkids live away from me right now.
Bro.
All right. Hey, let's go back to this conversation about Ukraine. And you were just there, and you were there for close to 10 days. It was travel involved. I guess it was more like 8 on the ground, right?
Well, actually, it was more like 10, 11 days with a couple more after that.
Okay.
Travel, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess one of my questions is, from the time you were there before, the last time was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Was it changed in some ways? Was it still roughly the same?
In some ways, it had changed. It was, I wouldn't say fear was more prevalent. However, seriousness was, because of what they've been through. I mean, when I went about a year and a half ago, there was a lot of hope. A lot of hope that not only were they making inroads in pushing back the invasion, but also that countries like America were helping out. But it's relentless there. And what's happening is, and this is all public knowledge, but it's not official. However, it's known that Russia has lost at least 1.2, 1.3 million.
Yeah, it's been catastrophically
bad. It is. And Ukraine is probably about half that. Now, again, it's not official. But so they can't keep up with that meat grinder, you know. And at the same time, they keep pushing and pushing and relentlessly and just unimaginably targeting everything.
Now, some of the places you were at, like you said in Yellowwater, you said that the war hasn't targeted Yellowwater per se. So there are enclaves of places that have not been struck by bombs or drones.
That's right.
But you also went to more of the frontline areas.
I
have heard that the devastation there is on scale with World War II.
It is. I had an opportunity to go for a whole day with a pastor friend of mine that's actually a chaplain. And he has been going to the front line really since 2014, when you mentioned before the invasion and the excursion of the annexation of Crimea. And so, but he's picked up that support to the front line and to the soldiers at least 2 times a week where he goes. And so he invited me to go with him to the Donbass. We were within mile-wise 4 to 5 miles from the actual fighting on the front line. Hmm. Yeah, it was very surreal.
The level of devastation being one thing, but what's the morale like? And I want to ask you, like, too, you interacted with troops while you were there,
too.
Yeah,
I did.
And I know you told me off the air you were struck by their professionalism.
Yes,
but absolutely. What's the morale like of the troops, and what's the morale like of the people on the ground, the civilians?
Well, obviously, we don't see the ins and outs because we just saw them isolated events or isolated encounters. However, every time we had an opportunity to meet the soldiers, to speak with them, to pray with them, which was a big deal, we never at all were refused. They embraced us, ministering to them, praying for them, believing for them. And these weren't these were soldiers, but it was also commanders. I think we might even had an encounter with a general. And so every single one were embracing not only the support we brought, which was just incredibly received well, but also just us being there and praying for them. Yeah.
When you say that, you're talking about the soldiers, you're talking about the civilians?
The soldiers.
How about civilians? What's the date? You mentioned sincerity. There's more seriousness now than there was. Is society gloomy, or is the society still remain hopeful?
It's hopeful. I would say it's probably a little less hopeful, simply because it seems like a war of attrition, which they're not going to be able to keep up with this war of attrition because of the losses. And it was very sobering being in the city I was, because they have started in the middle of the city, the memorial to all the soldiers, and had pictures of all of them. And they said that was maybe about half of what they had actually lost in Ukraine. And it turns out the city that we're located in is not really very close to the size of Gadsden. And so there were hundreds of men that had been lost from that city.
Yeah, probably not a place in the country that hasn't been touched.
Correct.
By this. So what physically did you do? I mean, when you were there, I know you delivered, there was a vehicle, if I'm not mistaken, you delivered for them to use for taking aid to the troops.
Yes, that was actually back early 2022.
Okay.
We provided a vehicle through our ministry, through Mercy's Hope, to this church and to this chaplain. Since they have used the guts out of that vehicle. I mean, my goodness, it was a pretty new van back then, and they have used it and used it. But he said they couldn't have done this without that. And so, but what happens is what we did, we took many supplies, food, just a lot of different support items to the troops. That's what I was really taken back by, was the troops were, they had their gear, they had weaponry, but they didn't have the support items because of the cost of the war. And so they're depending on the people of Ukraine supporting them with food and goods. And we took mattresses and clothing, just all kinds of stuff. And what's happening now, I said they looked very professional. I told you before, they looked so familiar to me of U.S. soldiers, the way they were outfitted and how they handled themselves. But at the same time, now they're asking the soldiers to wear civilian clothes because of the drone warfare.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But I'll say this too, before we go to the break, we got a couple more minutes. One of the things that's been so impressive as a military guy myself, and there's a lot of sentiment in the political world about what level of involvement the U.S. should have or whatever else.
Yeah.
That aside,
yeah,
there has been an amazing amount of just butt whooping put on the Russians by Ukraine.
Yeah.
I think everybody thought, and Russia thought, this is going to be over in a matter of days.
Right. Right.
And here we are 3 years later, and there's 1.2 million Russians that have sacrificed themselves on the altar of trying to take Ukraine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And to really kind of give maybe a little bit of vision behind the curtain, if you will, we would go into these centers called volunteer centers where they were providing food and many things for these troops. And on the walls were all the patches, the thank yous from all these different troops that would come in, soldiers. They would take off the patch and put it on the wall. And there were a bunch of American flags.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, there you go, USA.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You're there on the ground.
Yeah.
And then what's, let me ask you this. What's God doing there right now? I mean, I hear and I sense that in America, we have a growth right now moving towards, you know, some say revival.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying that way.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your sense of, the perception, the reception of God on the ground in Ukraine right now?
I think, and this first week really proved this, that I met with probably close to a dozen, not just seasoned pastors, but young people that were pastors, that were they had families, but they weren't saying, we're leaving so we protect the family. We want to invest in not only our community and those that are in our cities, we want to reinvest in our country. And we know God is not done with Ukraine, and we're going to do everything we can to not only care for those that are here, but also propagate the kingdom of God here. And so they are so passionate about the move of God that's happening in Ukraine.
Wow. That's, and that's good to hear.
It is.
Are the people, I know you met with the pastors, are the people turning back to faith, in the course of all this? Sometimes crisis can drive people there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think we're seeing that, but it's just so sobering to them because of just what they've experienced over the last three and a half years. And so they're holding in one hand the hope that is God, that he is the God of hope. But in the other hand, it's the realism of their loss. And so they're trying to balance both of those.
In this world, you will have trouble.
Yep.
Yep. All right, brother, listen, I got to ask, what do you think is next for Ukraine? If you had to just give the Chris May prediction, you've been on the ground, but you're also an American back here watching the news.
Yeah.
I mean, you see things from different angles.
Yeah.
What do you think's coming? I mean, with this whole thing about Zelensky and
yeah,
all of it.
Yeah. I just in my heart, I believe that Russia is just not going to decide they're going to be a peaceful nation now and give that up. I think the main answer is going to be strength. So if we help in some ways Ukraine portray that strength and have at least something that says, listen, if you want to go toe-to-toe again, it's going to cost you more. I think that's the hope, to be honest with you. Yes, peace talks are great, but I just, with the devastation I saw over there and what they've actually done and continue to do, I don't see in any sign of them wanting to have peace.
Russia. Yeah.
Now, Ukraine, absolutely. They would take it now if it was handed to them.
Is Ukraine going to have to lose ground in a peace agreement?
I hope not.
They
say that they won't, but I don't know. And as a matter of fact, the Donbass area we were in is rich with minerals.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And yeah. So that's another reason, one of many, why Russia wants that so bad.
Yeah, I've said several times, this was not a war about Russia being scared of NATO.
Right. Right.
Because NATO was already on their doorstep.
Yes.
That's never been the real reason.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the political reason.
Yep.
What this really was Russia saw things across the border they wanted.
Yeah.
They wanted nuclear power, they wanted the agricultural base, and they wanted those minerals.
Absolutely.
And
right.
And they wanted geography, they wanted warm water ports in the Crimean area. And so and they also want the old Russia back.
They want the
former Soviet Union back.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, brother, this has been good.
Yeah, I tell you, I wish I could go into detail, but maybe that's another time.
Well, we will have you back on again, but your perspective is huge, and I'm waiting to watch and to see what's going to wind up happening with these meetings over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I've lost touch, so I'm excited to see what's going on as well.
you've been seeing it from that on-the-ground perspective.
Yeah.
I'll never forget being in Baghdad and being in a chow hall, and CNN, we knew CNN was on our area, so chow hall, literally, I'm in a fob in Baghdad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the TV's on, though. We get CNN International on a satellite in the chow hall, and they told a story about my area. And we all looked at each other and said, are they in the same area we are? Because like five good things had happened the day before, and all they could talk about was everything negative.
Yeah,
and we're like,
right.
Did they miss that part? But so it's different when you're on the ground.
It is.
All right, man, I appreciate you as always, and blessings on
you. Absolutely. And Phil, I so appreciate you and the whole Right Side Radio family. They're fantastic. Ever since I started talking and sharing about Mercy Soap, the response has been really good.
Tell folks where they can find out more about Mercy Soap if they want to.
Mercy's Hope, that's MercyShope.org.
MercyShope.org.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like Mercy Shop, but it's not Mercy Shop. It's Mercy's Hope.
I never thought of that before.
Yeah.
All right, Chris May, love you, man.
All right, Phil.
We're taking a break. Last break before the hour comes to a close. You guys stay tuned. There's breaking news we'll talk about when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.